Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Responding to Discouragement. Many of us had hoped to see righteousness win out this week, but we were disappointed. We had hoped that somehow the right side would come out on top, but sometimes in life that doesn't happen, does it? And this was not in a small matter, but in a matter that we all must live with and live under. I know from others I've talked to this week that I'm not the only person feeling an almost crippling level of discouragement. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. First of all, know that you are not alone. All day yesterday and today, I am, and on the 20th, today's the, 20th and 21st, today's the 21st. I am so disappointed and so discouraged that it's almost like I'm in shock, if that makes any sense. And, you know, we keep going because we have to, but when you take a defeat that big, it feels like somebody just beat you up really bad. And the defeat is not as bad as the concern about what is coming to me, because that's what I walk around thinking about. But let me say this, you know, because I've talked about, I did a podcast not too long ago about not getting discouraged, but discouragement is a human emotion. We're not going to beat ourselves up for that too. I believe that we have a reason to be discouraged. We know, for one thing, the sanctity of life is at stake here. Hundreds of thousands more innocent little babies' lives. And freedom. Freedom in general, but also freedom of religion, on which this nation was founded to begin with, is definitely on the chopping block. And we know that it is possible that we are at the beginning of what's going to turn out to be a new Holocaust, and this time it's us that they're looking for, as well as the Jewish people. That's serious. The Lord has been telling us for a few years now that this was coming, and now it could possibly be here. It would be less concerning if so many of us did not see the same thing coming and sense the same thing coming. Or if the Lord had told us something else was coming, but too many things are matching up, and that's what's concerning to me. So what do you do when you become the persecuted, the hunted? Well, we're about to find out, aren't we? I truly believe the next thing that is coming is the propaganda campaign that labels all Christians as haters. I think that's kind of, in a way, started already. I think they'll pass laws and make moves that will make the other side deliriously happy, and then they will start working on the real plan. After the spread of hate, which we can already see a little bit of now, the real violence, I think, will follow. I also think it's possible here in the U.S. that there will be, at some point, a civil war, because the sides are so divided. And, you know, eventually we're going to be invaded by other nations because they're going to see, you know, a house divided can't stand, y'all. And the lines have been drawn in this country. I've never seen anything like this in all my 60 plus years. The lines are drawn and they are clear. And there's nobody bouncing from side to side. I mean, everybody's on their side of the line and it's just, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, other nations will see when we're fighting within ourselves. We become, you know, pretty easy pickings at that point. But the hate campaign of the Civil War, I think, may come first. So much to look forward to, right? So I want to take a look today at some of the people in the Bible who also experienced what must have been horrible discouragement when it looked like all was lost. And the main one I want to look at is Joseph. Joseph was a young, handsome man who lived righteously, obeyed his father, and who the Bible says had an excellent spirit. He was a good guy, so good things should happen to him, right? And yet, out of jealousy, which often accompanies blessings like being beautiful like Joseph, his brothers sold him out to the enemy, and the next thing he knew, he was carried off in a caravan to Egypt, where he went from being a favorite son to being a slave. A lot of people would have spent all their time in prison talking bad about the brothers that sold them out and complaining to management that they weren't supposed to be there, right? But would that have done any good? No. What did Joseph do instead? Joseph continued in the spirit of excellence. He just kept doing what was right, day by day by day. And I really think that is what the Lord wants from us now. That, and to keep affirming out loud that no matter what we see around us, no matter what happens in our world, He is still God. He is still on the throne. And He is still watching over us. And He knows the thoughts He has of us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. He is the God that no matter what happens, can work all things together for our good. That means He can bring something good out of this for us, y'all. He is the God who not only came and died for us so we could spend forever with Him, but He went to prepare a place for us, a mansion in heaven. And He is waiting for us there, along with those people that we love who have gone on before us. So though our world is not as we had hoped, we have so much to hope for after this life is over. One of the things we need to remember right now is that what comes out of our mouths, especially when we are discouraged, is very important, isn't it? We must continue to affirm that Jesus reigns, and no matter what we see, He's got this, and He's got us. And the worst that can happen is we lose our lives in this somewhere down the line because of our beliefs, which means we become martyrs, which is, by the way, rumored to be the greatest honor in heaven. If you lay down your life for Him like He laid down His life for you, then you will be honored in heaven for it. I believe that with all my heart. People who have visited heaven say that just living in this time is considered an honor. Also, and we've talked about this before, I think if you are martyred, you may possibly die without feeling any pain. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will read of cases like that. And the story of Stephen in the Bible, who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember, we talked about that in a previous podcast. We said, if we're being persecuted, they're fixing to take our heads or whatever, we need to pray that. Because when Stephen prayed that, he fell asleep. He was knocked unconscious, so he didn't feel the rest of the stoning that stoned him to death. That's a pretty good deal, I think. What do y'all think? I think that at the moment that death is imminent, the Lord calls our spirits to heaven and we don't feel anything else if we're dying that kind of death. If we do feel all of it, it's only on our way out. And y'all, we're going home after that, okay? We are going home. No more sorrow. No more living in this sinful earth anymore. No more dealing with all of this. It'll be over. And we get to go home to our reward. And the marriage feast. It don't get better than that. I'm just saying. A lot of getting through what is coming is to not love our lives unto death. If you love your life, you're going to have a very hard time with all of this. And you're going to be very tempted to take the mark of the beast when it comes out so you can live longer. Can I just tell you that? So I want to just mention a few things to kind of help us all encourage ourselves in the Lord. Y'all remember me doing a show, this was, I don't remember how long ago, about those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed. There's a book on my website by Peggy Joyce Ruth, the lady that wrote the Psalm 91 books, about that. And it's a really good book. It's small, but she tells all these stories where disappointing things happen, but God had taught her this lesson. Don't be disappointed, and I'll pull it out. And I have to admit, I forgot to do that this time when this happened. It was like I went into some kind of shock. It was the strangest thing. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but this wasn't it, whatever it was. Okay. Anyway, that book, Those Who Trust in the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed, is based on Psalm 25:3. I'm going to read you like the New King James Version of that. "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." I like that scripture. And then y'all know one of my favorite sets of verses is Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I love those scriptures because it's like a whole book of how to live your life in three verses. Also, y'all remember the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about Jehoshaphat? That really gives me a lot of hope now. I'm going to read you the story for those who don't know it. It all happened after this, that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar," which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before you, your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple,' and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Well, the rest of the story goes that God spoke through one of the men that was there, and he said, "Stand still. This battle is mine, not yours." And I think that in the case of what's happening now, it's the same thing. We're witnessing the battle between good and evil. Sometimes evil prevails for a while. It does not mean that we failed in our prayers and our warfare, because we were all fighting and we were all praying. It does not mean that we failed. It means that evil is prevailing right now. And as we go deeper and deeper and towards the end, we will probably see other times where it prevails for a period of time. And it's very hard to watch for us. But we have to remember, He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. And He's still watching over us. And let's keep in mind, too, God is never mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. So all the people who have done wrong in what has happened, and there were many, they're going to reap exactly what they have done. If they don't repent, they're going to reap a whole lot more than that. So he's got all that under control. That's in his hand. And whatever we see going on, y'all, we only have to remember who is God, and that the wickedness in high places only think they are. Because you know what happens when people start thinking they're God and treating God's people bad? He's going to step in and go, "Let me just introduce myself to you. I am God and you're not, and let me prove that to you." And he will show them. In the end, y'all, we've read the end of the book. We know how this story ends, and we know who wins. Keep your chin up. Keep your faith in him. And just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just get up every day and just keep doing what's right every day, like Joseph did. That's our job right now. I really believe that's our job. We're going to keep praising God. We're going to keep reading the word. And we're going to keep getting ready to go home, because we'll all get to go home for too long. I'm looking forward to meeting all y'all up there. I know this is a little bit short, but that's really all I have for y'all this week. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you, and may he comfort you. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com.